Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, the fact that it's Wednesday means that a new blog went up this morning, so get on over there and check that out. There are also various content put up throughout the week, so you want to continue to go over to sportstimeradio.com and see what's going on. But while you are over there, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and give that a like, please. Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio's Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh. All right, Dan. The Knicks pitched the Cavaliers, Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love. And the Cavaliers turned it down. Why didn't they want LeBron's best friend?
Is that Porzingis' spot?
Yeah, well, Love can do other things, so I'm looking here to see if the article has any more interest in what they have. So but it does not look like they give much reason for it. This of course is based off the fact that, you know, LeBron is now crying that the Cavaliers need a playmaker. And I do find it humorous, Dan, that one of the players they continue to bring up on why the Cavaliers are struggling with this is Matthew Dellavedova. Right, well, that's why they're struggling. They don't have him. He's in Milwaukee. Oh.
But I thought Kyle Korver was going to be the answer.
Well, he was supposed to be. He was the first one. You know, they needed a shooter, you know, like LeBron said. So they went out and got him Kyle Korver. You know, and then he wasn't happy with that. So now, you know, oddly, you know, I don't understand. You know, I know Carmelo and, you know, LeBron have said they want to play together. I'm a little shocked that they turned this down. I don't understand. You know, if this would have came up last year, they make the deal. Because remember, for a while, Love was, you know, the most hated guy in the NBA, according to LeBron. So but, yeah, there aren't – you know, if the Knicks are going to trade Anthony, obviously there aren't too many places he's going to agree to go. Cleveland is definitely one of them. He would have – you know, he would have approved that trade had they – you know, had they accepted it. But, yeah, you know, I really can't think of – too many other places that he's going to be willing to go. You know, I mean, they're not going to be able to turn him into, you know, prospects or anything with the 76ers or, you know, anything like that. So, you know, it's going to have to be a big deal like this if they're going to move him.
Yeah, well, I guess on Cleveland's end, his Love was too steep. You know, they won the title with him. He's younger, and he's having a better season than Melo. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess he
well, you know what I mean? If LeBron is really crying for a point guard, you know, because that's what he thinks they need, I'm sure the Bulls will gladly deal them Rajon Rondo. You know, I don't think that would be an issue at all. They could probably, you know, work out a swap there. There have been rumors that the Bulls have been shopping not only Rajon Rondo, but Nikola Mirotic. So, you know, I doubt they would do a two-for-two deal. But like I said, you know, Rondo's actually, if you can get his head out of his you-know-what, you know, he's that pass-first point guard a player like LeBron would want, because he's not going to absorb any shots. He's not going to take away any of that from LeBron's game. You know, he's gonna give the ball, you know, basically all the time. I think he averages about 7 assists a game. You know, but I think it was last year he may have actually averaged in double digits. So, you know, like I said, if you can keep him focused and out of his own head and maybe whatever other crazy issues he has going on, you know, he can be a viable point guard option. But, you know, other than that, I mean, they're not going to get a lot. I mean, there's not, you know, not a lot of teams running out there with point guards. I mean, are you going to go get Jeremy Lin from the Nets? I mean, I know he's out for, I think it's 5 weeks. But, I mean, are you waiting for him to come back to save your team? Is he the backup point guard you need?
I don't know.
So. But, yeah, you know, like I said, I don't know, you know, otherwise, I mean, you know, the other guy who makes perfect sense, you know, would be Ricky Rubio. You know, he doesn't seem to be fitting in with Tom Thibodeau. There was some talk, you know, they had a swap going, and I forgot who. Oh, it was with Detroit. The rumor was it was going to be Ricky Rubio for Reggie Jackson. And then Stan Van Gundy shot that down. But, you know, Rubio, another guy, I mean, he almost looks like he would be too good of a fit for Cleveland. You know, another guy who's a pass-first true point guard. You know, and neither him or Rondo shoot the ball really well, so obviously they would be looking to pass. So, you know, I mean, he could be an option, but it's, you know, I guess it'd be one of those weird things to see where they, you know, where they go or if they can work it out. But, yeah, I was a little surprised they didn't do the, you know, I figured when LeBron heard it, he would have gotten all excited swapping Melo for Love, you know. But then, you know, to be fair, I mean, Carmelo and LeBron have kind of the same skill set. LeBron is the better player, but they basically do the same things on the basketball court. So would they be in each other's way?
Well, I mean, would this be the ultimate ADP? Or, and, you know, you wouldn't even, I mean, I guess you'd call it a B team, but you got one starting every other day, and they just play opposite.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess the question would be, would Carmelo step back like Dwayne Wade did and allow LeBron to be the star, or, you know, would he be the guy? You know, I don't know how that would work out, or, you know, because I don't know, you know, Carmelo doesn't seem too much like a big time egomaniac, but he's never really been in any kind of position like that. I mean, you wouldn't know until you actually saw it, but, you know, he's never won a title. So, you know, you think that, you know, which would be part of the reason why he would, you know, accept that trade. You know, obviously he would accept going to places probably like Golden State or, you know, San Antonio, you know, anybody else who's a title contender, I think he would agree to go to. But, you know, I don't see those teams jumping up and making a deal for him. Does he get moved, or is he just going to be a Knick?
I mean, it's hard to say because he has the right trade clause.
Yeah, but what do you think? He's your guy.
I don't know. I think he's going to be stuck there because he's not going to want to go anywhere, compete, or win. And I just think he's stuck there.
He should have. When he was a free agent, he should have signed with the Bulls when he was a free agent, and his life has been totally different. You know, instead he just jerked him around to take more money for the Knicks, and now look. And now they're on the same team. So.
I mean, you gotta think about the situation at the time. I mean, you come here to Chicago and play under Gar and Pax and Tibbs, which was completely dysfunctional. Or do you go play for the guys who coach can, you know, however many more he put together in Los Angeles? I mean, if you're the guy going to build around, you've got Phil Jackson. I mean, wouldn't you be stupid not to sign there? Look, going back to that time period.
Well, that, I mean, he got a lot more money to stay in New York. I mean, everything was really favorable for him to stay there. But, you know, looking at that team, you knew they weren't anywhere close to winning a championship, even with him. So, you know, basically he went for money, you know, which a lot of guys do. I mean, he's not the only guy to do it. So.
Yeah, well, that was pretty secure.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's weird because, you know, you always think these guys are pretty secure, or they should be pretty secure. Yeah, you know, man, they always, you know, step right up and take the biggest deal when it's offered. You know, Wayne Wade could have been a Cavalier this year. He would have had to play for $2.4 million. You know, that's all they could offer him. But, you know, he's got his championships and all that good stuff. So instead he cashes in with the Bulls for, what is it, about $20 million a year or so he's making?
Yep.
So, you know, you just, you know, in that case, you know, you take, you know, he's got 3 years worth of it. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, $60 million. I mean, he would have had to turn, you know, end up back on the free agent market if he'd signed with the Cavs. So, you know, I mean, you just kind of look at it that way. I mean, he, you know, he kind of turned down a title run to cash checks. And, you know, you would think a guy like him is secure, you know, is financially stable after all these years in the league. I mean, obviously we hear the stories and, you know, I know we didn't talk about it, but your guy, Alex Rodriguez, has now built a whole reality show around it, but we'll have to get into that when it's getting close to airing. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, you know, and then Dan, I was so disappointed last night. I thought for sure I was going to get up and I was going to hear about this wild altercation between the Wizards and the Celtics last night. You know, I mean, I was just convinced, you know, the Wizards had their all black on so they could do the funeral thing. And, you know, you figure the Celtics had to be upset about it. And yeah, well, the Wizards ended up blowing them out 123-108. So it wasn't even a very good game. And then the only freaking argument that happens is Marcus Smart gets into an argument with one of the Celtics assistant coaches. So I was like, great. So.
He didn't punch him, did he?
No, and to be fair, you know, the media jumped all over Smart. Now, you know, he's got a little bit of a bad rap, and I know he's, you know, he's had his issues here. But they came out and talked, you know, the coaches talked about this. The argument started because Smart wanted to go back in the game, but the Celtics have him on a minutes limit because he's coming back from an injury, and they didn't want to put him back out there because he had reached his playing time limit they set for him. That's what the argument was about. So we're talking about a guy who got upset because he couldn't go back into a game. You know, it wasn't behavioral. It wasn't any of this other BS that, you know, the media would, you know, be killing him for. And oddly, they're still killing him because he got into an argument with the coach. But, it, you know, it was because he had the heart and he wanted to go back in the game. So why do they do that to him, Dan? He didn't do anything wrong this time. He's getting killed.
Jersey with the key level. Celtics just for
you know, why do your journalism guys do this to these guys? You know, you big shot, highfalutin degree guys, you know, you jump all over these guys without knowing the situation, and, you know.
And that's right, for 5 years, you don't listen to me. I went to sports and radio broadcast. Journalism was the other program.
You know, that's just how they do it, I guess. But all right, there's actually a pretty full slate in the NBA tonight, so let me knock it out of the way here. We got the Sacramento Kings at the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. That game's starting in about 15 minutes. That should be interesting. The Houston Rockets at the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat at the Brooklyn Nets, the Atlanta Hawks at the Chicago Bulls, the Philadelphia 76ers at the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors at the Memphis Grizzlies, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the New Orleans Hornets. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight will be the Golden State Warriors at the Charlotte Hornets. Then we have the New York Knicks at the Dallas Mavericks, and the night wraps up on television with the Los Angeles Lakers at the Portland Trailblazers. So there you go. There's the NBA schedule for the evening. So, yeah, and then, Dan, you know, I reached out to that guy who's making all the trades in our league, and I sent him, you know, really, really serious, what I thought was pretty good trade offer. And I guess I don't qualify for his stupid trades because all I got in return was he wanted my second and third best player for two of his bench players. And it was just like, really, why would I do this? I'm ahead of you in the standings. I'm trying to improve my team. You know, you're selling off guys like Westbrook and Carmelo for nothing. I offer you a serious deal, and this is the crap I get back in return?
You should put your three worst guys up for his best guys.
Yeah, you know, but see, like, when he does, you know, then all he does is he just shoots that down with me. You know, he doesn't... You know, apparently he just doesn't want to trade with me or however it works out, but I don't know, you know, the qualifications behind what he's looking for or what constitutes a you know, a good trade for him. And I was just kind of like, okay, you know, I guess I'm done dealing with you. So, but yeah, it was just like, you know, I was like, great, hey, thanks for, you know, not even, you know, not even making a consummated effort to, you know, come up with a trade deal with me. It was just like, okay, well, you know, here you go. I sent a trade and you just kind of dumped it on me and sent me crap. Like, why, you know, what, I don't understand what makes you think I want your crap. So, yeah, I was just like, hey, well, that's fun. You know, we'll see what, you know, I can't wait to see what his next trade move is, when he'll probably give away his best player for, you know, somebody's three bench guys. But if I would have sent it to him, he would have turned it around and sent me the opposite trade. So.
Well, I mean, you should have countered back with your original trade. That was a pretty fair trade. I don't know why you guys turned around and dick.
Yeah, you know, the problem is, I mean, you know how it is when you're dealing with this. You know, it gets, you know, ridiculous, because this isn't the first trade I've sent him. And it's just kind of like, it gets kind of goofy when you're like, you know, I'm looking at all these other trades you made, you know, this guy makes, and I'm like, well, okay, you know, he had a real nice piece that fit what I was looking for. And yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, well, I'll make him a solid offer. And yeah, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to say that, you know, the first offer I always send a guy is in my favor. But, you know, I'm looking to get a counter going, a dialogue, and see what maybe, you know, what maybe they would want, or, you know, how, you know, how much value they have on the player. Because there are guys who, you know, even if a player is having a down year, they still want the equal draft value for them, you know, even though they're no longer worth that. And, you know, this guy, obviously, he doesn't seem like one of those types, but, you know, he it seems to be working that way with me.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, since we auction pay for it, it's not like the draft really matters.
No, well, that's, yeah, but I mean, you still have your own value of a guy, you know. You know, like the preseason ranks are still there. You know, you can always look and see, like, you know, well, this guy was ranked at, you know, 26 when I drafted him. So, you know, that means he's worth, you know, whatever it is, even, you know, even if the guy's having a down year. So, you know, because you go through, I mean, you go through that how many times in the damn, you know, the football league. It's kind of like, okay, well, you know, here, I'll give you this guy. You know, it's like, you know, here, you can have this guy, and, you know, we'll throw, you know, throw that in. I know, I'm trying to remember, I think it was before you started playing, we had a, you know, Mr. Fantasy was trying to make a trade with a guy, and he was selling low on a guy. It was a running back who just was having a horrible year. So, you know, Mr. Fantasy sent him an adjustable deal for the situation. You know, it was a really fair deal for the kind of year the guy was having. But the problem was the guy who owned the running back drafted him in like the third round and wanted third round equal value for him. I'm like, dude, have you seen the stats that this guy's putting up? You know, he's not a third round player anymore. So, but yeah, it's just like, oh, well, whatever. You know, I can just deal with, maybe somebody else will want to have fun and negotiate a trade with me. So, yeah. You know, I did notice, Dan, it seems like when the Bulls play, they automatically play the next night. I can't figure out how the hell the NBA came up with this schedule. You know, they had 2 days off before they played yesterday. They couldn't have split these games up by a day. You know, and then to make it weirder, they had to go to Orlando just to turn around to come home to play Atlanta. They couldn't have flopped one of those games earlier in the season where the Bulls, since they were in Orlando, could have just hopped over to Atlanta, you know, and made it a quick little two-game road trip. I you know, this just seems like an incredibly stupid schedule. You know, and I mean, I'm sure the other teams are, you know, going through these same things, but, you know, obviously I noticed the Bulls because they're the local team here, and I can see, you know, whatever just kind of goes on. But yeah, it's like, you know, okay, well, they played last night. They got the win, you know, they managed to get a win over Orlando. And now it's like, okay, well, now we turn right around and we get to come home, but we don't get a day off. You know, Atlanta didn't play yesterday. So, you know, you get to come in and, you know, face a arrested team, you know, and, you know, I mean, at least they get to stay home for a little bit, but, you know, then again, you know, day off, they get Miami, day off, they get Philadelphia. So it's just kind of, I don't get the scheduling. It just seems like it was quite haphazard on how they, you know, they space things off. And then, you know, if it's not 2 days in a row, then it's three games in 4 days. You know, and I know LeBron is complaining about that right now because that's the situation the Cavaliers are in. You know, they're playing a three games in four day set. And I, you know, it's just kind of like who, you know, there's got to be a way to fix the computer, right?
Yeah, but if you're not the Cavs, it doesn't matter.
No, you know, and I mean, I'm sure, you know, one of these days I'll have to look at the Cavaliers' schedule and actually see, you know, how many back-to-backs they've been stuck with and, you know, how many, you know, three games in 4 days they end up eating, because he's the guy who complains more than anybody else, you know, which is odd. I don't remember any other superstar anywhere crying as much as this guy does. I mean, you know, he's the best player in the league, but God, if, you know, if something doesn't go his way, he is just the biggest crybaby. You know, and I guess maybe that's just the generation we're in. Is that how it works? Everybody gets a trophy?
Pretty much.
So. You know, I don't, yeah, I don't know. It just gets kind of goofy when you, you know, you try to figure out what the deal is with that. But of course they'll, you know, that all changes, you know, next year with all the new rules. So that'll be fun to, see how that shakes out for teams and how the NBA manages to shuffle it in here, you know. I think it's, you know, it's just going to make the season that much longer.
Probably. And speaking of new rules next season, the Rockies apparently agreed with Craig Collins to be a reliever up there.
Yeah, I was wondering when somebody was finally going to, you know, take the chance and sign him. Of course, he has to pass a physical. You know, he's recovering from, you know, Tommy John. He missed all of last season. And I think he got 1 year and an option. That seems to be the going rate now for people. So.
And it looks like, according to MLB.com, pretty much everyone who was offered the qualifying offer is wrapped up except for Matt Peters and Mike Napoli.
Yeah, they seem to be the two big guys left on the totem pole, so to speak. You know, Jason Hamill, of course, is probably the best pitcher out there. So.
Yeah, but he wasn't offered a qualifying offer.
No. Because if he would have been, he probably would have taken it. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's what I meant. You know, these are the last two guys with the qualifying offer who have yet to sign. Do you think it's partly because the teams that might be willing to sign them don't want to give up a draft pick?
Oh, yeah, that's the entire reason neither of these two guys are signed right now. I mean, you look at the year Napoli had, and I get it, he only hit like 240. But he also drove in, he also hit 34 homers, drove in 101 RBIs. And, you know, he's that key guy in the clubhouse. You know, the Indians gave him a lot of credit for being a great clubhouse guy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, he's not really worth giving up the draft pick for. You know, and then Wieters is a switch hitting catcher, you know, who's above average defensively. And, you know, has above average power. Now he had Tommy John. He should be fully recovered. It was 2 years ago. But yeah, you know, that's the exact problem is, you know, teams look and, you know, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to give up that draft pick. If you're sitting at, you know, what, 11 or 12, and you could really use one of these guys, you're not giving up that pick for either of these guys.
And I'm trying to pull it down.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, Wieters would be an upgrade. You know, I mean, he was the perfect fit for the Nationals. But instead of making the signing to really upgrade a catcher, they settled for Derek Norris, who, I mean, had a horrible year last year in San Diego. But, you know, he's going to go into Washington as the everyday guy with maybe Lobatone as the backup, unless they bring the rookie up and allow him to be the number two with Norris. But, you know, Wieters would have been so much of a better choice, but, you know, they just either, maybe they didn't want to give up the draft pick. Maybe there was some other reasons. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you're a contender. You think you would have wanted that deal. You know, it's just kind of, you know, the Astros were looking for a catcher at the beginning. And they decided to trade for Brian McCann, you know, who's old. You know, the Rangers could probably still, you know, the Rangers could probably still use a catcher. I don't think they're signing him.
They've got 26 in the position.
So. But, yeah, it, you know, it's just, it's weird. You know, I mean, the Rangers have been linked to just about everybody, but I don't think they've signed a big guy. All their signings have been pretty much on, you know, the lower tier guys, the minor guys, you know, the Andrew Kashners and, you know, guys kind of like that. They haven't really spent to pick up, you know, a big time free agent. So, you know, you gotta kind of wonder what these guys are going to end up doing. You know, I think Baltimore signed another catcher, so I believe they've moved on. You know, and we know Cleveland moved on because they brought in Encarnacion. So it's not like these guys can really go back, you know, to their teams. So, you know, you got to kind of start, you know, looking at, you know, other homes, or, you know, are these guys going to be stuck sitting out until the, you know, the draft pick compensation expires and they end up playing half a season?
Yeah, well, the funny thing with Cleveland is they don't have a pick until the second round. They have the 64th pick. So they don't have a first-round pick at all. And then you would end up having to give
How updated is that? Is it already Toronto's pick?
Oh, yeah, it's already been updated because of the Cubs.
Okay. Toronto,
you know,
yeah.
Toronto's 28 in the first round. Texas has the 29th for Ian Desmond, and the Cubs have the 30th in the first round for Fowler. But, I mean, the Indians, again, like I said, don't have a pick until the end of the second round. So, I mean, you know, going after a guy like Matt Wieters, you know, I guess they wouldn't have a pick until the end of the third round, which by then doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, that's, you know, I mean, you know, I know they really like Yan Gomes, but Wieters is a big-time upgrade over Gomes, you know, who was coming back from a broken leg, by the way. So, yeah, you know, you wonder.
Well, here's the top 10 teams in the first round, and you can kind of, after I list them off, go off, and I'll tell you where they are in the second, you know, the subsequent rounds. But first round, you know, Twins, Reds, Padres, Rays, Braves, A's, D-backs, Phillies, Brewers, and Angels. And then, you know, the Rays and the Twins both have, and the Reds, A's, Brewers, all have extra picks in the first round. And then the Twins, Reds, Padres, and Rays are the first four off the top in the second round. So, I mean,
If they sign somebody, they don't lose that first pick, right? If they sign a guy who's had a qualifying offer.
Yeah, but they would end up losing their second round.
Okay, so.
I mean, do you see, you know, either one of those guys fitting with those top 10 teams?
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you start talking about teams like that, probably any of those teams could use, you know, one or either of these guys. You know, like a guy like Napoli being 34, I can't really see him fitting, you know, because these are teams that are on the rebuild, and he's really more suited for the American League because he needs to be a DH more than a first baseman. But, you know, it could be one of those things where when it comes down to it, the A's throw him a one-year deal and then try to move him at the trade deadline. You know, it
yeah,
could
I
be
mean,
a situation You know, it could be a situation like that, but, you know, for Wieters, depending on, you know, who you are, like, I know the Phillies just signed Ryan Hannigan. And, you know, if they thought they were closer, I don't understand why you don't go out and ink Wieters to a long-term deal.
Well, the only
you know, because I think your starter is...
Go ahead.
No, because I think their starter is listed as, like, Cameron Rupp or something. And, you know, Wieters is a monster upgrade over Rupp. But, you know, I don't know. Do they have – what's their first pick? Would they have to give up that first pick if they signed him?
No, everyone – all the teams are listed in the top 20. They don't have to give up. But for the Phillies, they wouldn't have to give it up. They'd end up having to give up their second, which would be the 45th pick in the draft.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, I think a guy like Wieters could be, you know, if you're giving up 45, he's worth that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the two teams that really jumped out to me, too, you know, obviously Milwaukee and then the Angels, because I can't think of who their catcher is.
Yeah, I know they have a young catcher they want to try to develop. They were supposed to be doing it last year. That's why they brought in Gio Soto to work with them. And I'm drawing a blank on what his name is. But yeah, they were going young there.
And what about the Brewers?
Yeah, well, you know, that's another thing. I mean, it depends how far away you think you are. You know, and I think, like, the teams like the Brewers and the Reds and stuff are just a little too far away to bring in a guy like Wieters and then have to hang on to him for 5 years while you're winning. So, you know, I'm trying to think about it in my head. I mean, how far, you know, the Brewers seem like they're still a little bit of ways away from being able to win. So. But, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, again, it's, you know, a lot of fits. You know, I mean, there's a lot of definite places these guys could turn up. But, you know, you just wonder if and when or, you know, how long it's going to take before somebody steps up and, you know, makes that move. So, yeah, you know, like I said, I don't, you know, it's tough to kind of figure out, you know, okay, well, hey, where does this guy fit? Where does that guy fit? But, you kind of wonder, you know, where, how are these guys gonna end up? Yeah, you know, that's kind of the other thing, you know, like I brought up Jason Hamill earlier, even though he doesn't have a qualifying offer attached, you know, you wonder what teams are waiting for on him. You know, he's easily the best starting pitcher out there. I mean, you know, while I'm not a huge fan and I'll never be a huge fan, you know, he did win 15 games and he could help the back end of, you know, a lot of teams' rotations. But, you know, he's still kind of hanging around. You know, and we're only about 3 weeks away from camp's opening.
February 13th.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, you just got to kind of start to wonder, are these guys going to find homes or is it going to take, you know, or what's it going to take to get a, you know, get something done. I mean, you know, Austin Jackson got a deal today with the Indians. So. Oh. So, yeah, you know. And I, you know, I did say, I don't know if you caught this one today. Did you see the Mets actually came out and announced that Jay Bruce will be their starting right fielder? You know, I believe they've been trying to trade him for quite a while, and they just couldn't find any takers. So I guess they just decided he's going to be their starting right fielder. I assume this means Cespedes plays center and Granderson plays left. And, you know, unless they find a taker for Granderson before the season gets going, because they have a bit of a crowded outfield now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the age puts them out, but I would think Granderson would be in center.
Yeah, maybe that's possible. They go back to that route. You know, it just, you know, it gets all a little weird there, but. You know, it should be, it stinks for the guys like, you know, Michael Conforto, who was, you know, a young guy needs at bats, and Brandon Nimmo, you know, another young guy who needs at bats, but, you know, there's just not a spot for him right now. So.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the Mets' own doing.
Yeah, well, you know, I understand bringing Bruce in for the playoff run. You know, and, you know, they paid Cespedes a lot of money to come back. You know, maybe they thought it was going to be easier to move Bruce. You know, he is a big-time left-handed power hitter, which teams normally seem to want. But, yeah, you know, it's been an odd off-season in some cases. You know, guys who, you know, you thought could go or would go didn't really do anything, and you know, other guys who, you know, like we thought would be gone off the board are still hanging around. You know, I did decide, Dan, I keep seeing, everybody keeps putting out their top tens. You know, like the MLB Network has, you know, the 10 best this right now or that right now. And I just saw on the, you know, the Mickey Mouse website, Buster Only has his. We got to start doing the, you know, the Sports Time Radio top 10 in every position.
Well, that'll be just between
you and I. So, well, you know, I'm sure Stu would help us. He would just want, you know, a Cub at the top of every position. So, but I did see something interesting today. They were doing the top rated shortstop prospects coming into this year. And Gleyber Torres knocked Dansby Swanson off the top of the list.
Jonathan may like them.
So yeah, I was quite surprised. Now, you know, at least they were smart enough to admit that he's still probably a couple years away from, you know, being in the majors. It's not like he's going to be there now, or Swanson will obviously, you know, be the Braves starting shortstop for this year and anytime in the near future. But yeah, I was a little shocked to see, you know, when I was like, wait, what? He's number one? You know, and there are some guys, you know, like we're probably going to see, you know, J.P. Crawford in the majors this year for the Phillies. You know, obviously I mentioned Swanson. The Yankees actually have a second shortstop prospect. I think it's George Mateo. It might have been Jorge, but I think they called him George this morning. So, yeah, it's always, I don't know how you feel about this, but anytime I hear the Yankees and prospects, it just sounds weird to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're expecting them to they have all the already made superstars.
yeah, you know, and I'm just so used to them, you know, dealing these guys for those guys. You know, I'm just not used to them kind of hanging around. It's like, wait, this, why is he still here? You know, this is the Yankees we're talking about here.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been almost 10 years.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I guess it's just the perception I'm used to. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's the Yankees. They're going to ship all these guys off and make a big, you know, make a big move somewhere. And then they don't. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're going to hang on to these guys. But, you know, it makes it interesting. I mean, they've acquired a lot of, you know, really what appears to be good young talent. So it'll be interesting to see how the team kind of shakes out as the, you know, the years progress. I mean, obviously Sanchez is going to catch full-time this year, and, you know, we're going to get to see Greg Bird as the full-time first baseman. So.
Well, and it makes you take a step back. You know, we've discussed it a million times. Theo did a good job. I do think he did get a little lucky in the way the five-year plan worked out. So now, because it worked for the Cubs, you know, it has to work for everybody. And we got to touch on that for a second with basketball, too. But when you look at the Yankees and the White Sox, I mean, there's a huge difference there. And they didn't have to completely tank it out to get where they are, where the White Sox are going to completely tank it out. And who knows if 4 or 5 years down the line, if they'll even be a competitive team. We don't know that. I mean, granted, you don't know that about the Yankees, but we've seen many of these players, with the exception of Gleyber Torres, play. And, you know, with the two guys up the middle right now and a couple of the outfielders, and then basing with what they've picked up, you know, Gary Sanchez and a few, you know, you mentioned Bird. I think they definitely can go towards the wild card. I don't know if they'll take their division because over the last couple of years, even if you don't want to admit it, the East, AL East has been the toughest division. Hope I didn't lose you.
No, I'm still here.
So, I mean, do you agree that they've kind of been able to almost rebuild without having to completely tear it down? I mean, they were stuck waiting on, you know, the extended contracts of A-Rod, Teixeira, and, you know, whoever. But, I mean, do you think they have a better shot at making a run for it this year as opposed to the Sox in 5 years?
Yeah, well, you know, they managed to, you know, the Yankees kept themselves competitive, you know, even while dealing with all this contract stuff. And to be fair, they're still not out from under the A-Rod contract. He's got one more year. You know, they're paying him to stay home this year. You know, and it's like $21 or $22 million or something. So he's getting a big time payday to do nothing. But yeah, they've handled this really well, and I don't know if Brian Cashman gets enough credit for it. You know, they dog him right and left when, you know, things go wrong or they think they're, you know, hanging on to something. But, you know, they've managed to rebuild this team without going to the bottom of the standings. You know, I mean, obviously they weren't, for a little while they were contenders to win the division, but, you know, they stayed in the wild card hunt. So, you know, it's been interesting to kind of watch their rebuild versus everybody else's who, you know, rips it apart and starts over from scratch.
I mean, because I feel last season than the Astros.
I think they were more competitive in their division, you know. But, you know, yeah, because, I mean, you know, to be, I mean, you look at it, I mean, to be fair, the only team that's actually produced out of their rebuild is the Cubs. You know, I mean, are the Astros a better team? Well, yeah, of course, they've improved. You know, we're still waiting, you know, nobody knows what the hell San Diego's doing. The Brewers and the Reds are kind of, you know, they're 100-game losers this year probably. You know, the Phillies appear to be improving. You know, so they, you know, but it's been a long time. I think it's been more than 5 years for them. You know, and then we, you know, we got to kind of, you know, what the Braves are this year. You know, are they headed the right way or, you know, are they just kind of stuck in neutral? So, you know, it's, you know, if you can get your fans to buy in and still make money, obviously it's great for ownership because you're making money paying guys, you know, dog crap. You know, because you don't have any big time salaries and you're still getting fans in. But, you know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, what do you, you know, or maybe it takes too long or, you know, who knows, you know, because if you miss on those draft picks, you know, you're going to die. You're going to die a slow death.
Well, do you think that's why almost the Yankees and I think the White Sox followed suit with what they did with acquiring central picks that other teams picked, where now they don't have to do as much drafting? You know, I know you still feel with Todd Frazier, and I honestly think he'll be gone by the deadline, but I mean, essentially without having to do a draft, they should be a year or two ahead of the game.
Yeah, you know, as you know, and again, as long as these guys work out, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, we, you know, you never know. Yeah. You know, I mean, because we were saying the same thing, you know, like when the Cubs drafted Chris Bryant, you know, he was the best hitter. Well, as long as it works out, well, obviously it's worked out. You know, so now, you know, we're kind of in the same boat. You know, the Cubs are in the same boat with Alberto Almora. He was a number one pick. Now we're waiting to see, did he deserve to be a number one pick? You know, this is his make or break year. So, you know, we'll go through that with the Sox, and it'll be interesting to see how they handled these guys, because the talk is now we're not going to see any of these guys at the start of the season. You know, they're all going to start at AAA or lower or wherever they need to start. So, I mean, the White Sox are going to field a really bad team while all these guys are sitting in the minors trying to, you know, trying to get ready, or just because they don't want to pay them.
Yeah. Well, and here's something that I thought was interesting. I forget who brought it up and when and where, whatever, it doesn't matter. Theo came in and he did a better job of pushing the Cubs way. And I think that was Dave Schwemm's. You know, I think that was where his mouthpiece came from, obviously, was Theo. Cubs way. And then we're bought into, because how do you bring a lifelong brewer into your system and he's going to tell us how the Cubs do
right.
it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why not just have Bob Uecker come and tell us how the Cubs do it their way? Yeah, I didn't buy in. And, you know, I never bought that crap for 1 minute. It was a bunch of crap. You can't, you know, oh, yeah. Jim Deshays and, you know, Dale Schwemm are going to tell us the Cubs way of baseball. Yeah, okay. Two guys have never spent a day in the organization. That makes sense. Now, the White Sox have seemed to, you know, work with guys within the organization to keep them. Do you think that's part of the problem, though? I mean, they don't have a system from the top up or, you know, the bottom up where, you know, we talk to the bottom of the Cubs system. And that doesn't mean, like, the negative. That just means that's where you start, at single A. And, you know, we've got a fortunately cool contact down there. And, you know, what he told us as we talked, you know, over the last couple of years was the way that things are done at the top is the way they're done at the bottom. And everyone's kind of under the same, you know, umbrella, essentially, as it's supposed to be, where I've heard that it's not that way with the Sox, where, you know, it's their subordinates are almost independent. Systems of the big show. So do you think that maybe keeping them down there, and that would be a rehashing of the organization as a whole, where, you know, it seems like you always say Don Cooper is able to work magic and that system seems to work all the way throughout. Do you think they'll put that in place for the other side of the game so that maybe they can get some units in and really start turning these guys out in the next couple of years? Because we still don't know.
Well, you know,
anything.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you know, obviously that's the hope, you know, and, you know, again, it's just one of those, you know, one of those weird situations, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the White Sox have always struggled developing hitters, and the Cubs have always struggled developing pitchers. You know, it's just kind of how, you know, weird things shuffle out. I mean, is it, you know, coaching? Obviously, there's something going on with the way they're teaching the game that it's just not translating to the next level, or are they just making bad draft picks? You know, I mean, you know, you've got a guy graded out a lot higher than maybe he should be, and when he gets here, you realize, you know, you're wrong. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if they can change that or how they go about changing it. You know, and it's just, you know, out of all the drafts, baseball is really just the biggest hit or miss out of anything, because from where a guy comes from at the college level, or in some cases the high school level, to the major league level is just a world of difference. You know, I mean, at least now, you know, like the NBA, there's similar skill sets in college players and pro players. Obviously, the pro players are better. And, you know, the same thing with football. The skill sets are there. You know, when you're playing college baseball, you don't generally go from a pitcher throwing, 90, 92 for the first six innings against you, and then the reliever's coming in and blowing you away at 100-plus. You know, that's not a, you know, so it can be tough to deal with, and some guys just can't adjust. But yeah, you know, like, yeah, in a perfect world, I'm sure they would love to transition, you know, some of it to the, you know, to the hitting side.
And I don't know who's to blame.
No, you know, it's tough. You know, it's tough to blame anybody, but it's time for Dan and I to take off. Don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live. I know we didn't get Dan's picks, but he went 1-3 yesterday, so he needs the day off, trust me. So as always, you know, while we're away, you know the deal. Get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out the stuff there, hit the link to the Facebook page, give that a like, jump on and follow the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, a big thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.